Hello, class. This is Reverend Calhoun again. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor, and I think this should be class number 10, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll have probably one more class before our semester finals before Christmas. But I'm going to get into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the school of ministry, and I thank you for each student individually. And I trust, Lord God, that they're getting everything that they need out of this school, Lord God. I thank you for revelation knowledge that flows freely, Lord God. And I thank you right now, Lord, for impartation taking place in the lives of each and every student. We thank you for our apostle and president of Ever Increasing Word Training, Sister Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, for each instructor. Hallelujah. And just thank you, Lord God, for the ministry in general, Lord God, that you've raised up in this area. And Father, as always, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to show up in my class, because if he don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally upon my inadequacies and my inabilities so that the Holy Spirit can kick in with his strength and his ability. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to be coming from the book mostly today, The Spirit of Honor, and around page 90, I think it is. So I don't know how the PDFs are formatted. I don't know if there's page numbers on it or not, but there should be a section that talks about how to build honor. And we're going to be reading and coming from that. Amen. All right. Like I said, in today's class session is how to build honor. And actually, the next two class sessions is going to be how to build honor. And there's 10, roughly 11 principles or steps that the author talks about in how to build honor. Amen. And I'm going to just start off reading a few excerpts from what the author has in his book. In this teaching, we're going to look again on the subject of how to build honor. Sometimes we have ministries and minister leaders that disqualify themselves, and in doing so, it seems like their ministry has been crippled. They're in Lodabar. Now, Lodabar is where Mephibosheth was. And Mephibosheth, if you remember, he was a cripple. And David went out to find people in his lineage so that he can honor them. And so he brought Mephibosheth out of Lodabar. And one minister calls Lodabar an area of low-level ministry. And he says they were in some ministries are in Lodabar, are low-level living. Unable to progress and develop, but there is a way in which that crippling effect can be turned by building honor in themselves. Then it goes on to say, unfortunately, there are many prominent young gifts, young ministry gifts in the body of Christ that are immature, sometimes even untrained, and they don't have exposure to spiritual protocol, how to properly show respect to spiritual leaders and dignitaries who have rank in ministry. And as a result, by not showing respect and honor to these dignitaries, they cripple their ministry. Amen? All right. This is something you're going to need to know. You observe spiritual protocol when you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ that is giving honor to whom honor is due. One more time. You observe protocol, and I'm going to give you a definition of protocol in a minute. When you honor the gifts that's in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ, this is giving honor to whom honor is due. And by ranks, we're talking about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, and even those people in the ministry of helps and who holds positions of administration. Amen. Now, the word protocol. Protocol is a set of rules governing the format exchange or messaging, you know, between, you know, how can I say this? I can give you a better illustration than just giving you a definition. In the military, there's a certain protocol, and that protocol is if you come before somebody of higher rank, you stop, turn towards them, and you salute them. You know, that's protocol. And you let them pass by. You give them the right of way. You know, in church, when an apostle, a prophet, or a pastor walks on the podium or the platform, it is just proper protocol for everybody to stand up and acknowledge them. When the president of the United States walks in a building, you know, everybody stands up, and they do that as a form of respect for the office and for the person, because the person and the office are one and the same. Amen. So that's protocol. And what the author is saying is a lot of young ministries don't understand proper protocol. And he goes on to say, and I'm going to just kind of paraphrase some of what he has in his book. He says, you know, you could be watching a TBN broadcast and you might see a Benny Hinn or a Joel Osteen or just any minister, and something they say that young minister will hear, and they may either mark or criticize or say something ill will about that person, not understanding the fact that when you put your mouth on a man or a woman of God, you have just just walked into a strong level of dishonor. And I'll say this, and I've said it again. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I'll never forget some 20-plus years there was a prominent minister, a prominent evangelist in this area who fell into a trap of Satan, and I was going through a challenge. And I remember from the pulpit, Apostle Thompson, he was back then, he was more considered pastor, our pastor. But he said, don't you put your mouth on him. As many people as he saved and as many, you know, people he has led to the Lord, we need to give him the proper respect and honor, even though he may have fallen from grace. You know, pray and ask God to restore him. And I've done that. And there's been times, and I've said this before, like I said, I'm a repeater, and when things come up, I just share it. I've seen this minister at restaurants after church, and either I'll pull out a bill and sow into his life, or I'll just pull the ticket. You know, I've done that twice, two or three times, you know, and that's showing honor to whom honor is due. Because I remember the first time I seen him in a restaurant, I didn't do anything. But I didn't understand the protocols of honor at the time. I was still learning. I was young. And I really felt bad because I felt like I should have done something, kind of like Saul when he was going before Samuel. But I just didn't do it. And so from that point on, the protocol is to always show honor to whom honor is due. All right. So we're talking about how to build honor. And what I just explained is how to build. Because if you want to be honored, you have to show honor. You know, you sow what you want in your life. Amen. All right. The first way to build honor is to walk in wisdom. The first way to build honor is to walk in wisdom. And we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. So it's more profitable to get wisdom than silver and fine gold. Verse 15, she, which is wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Okay, verse 16 is very important. Verse 16 says, for length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Honor is in the hand of wisdom. You know, riches are in the hand of wisdom. You know, verse 16, for length of days, if you want to live long on the earth, you learn how to show proper honor. Say, for length of days are in her right hand. And that's, and I said on, I'm really talking about wisdom. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Pray for the spirit of wisdom in order to build honor in your life. Amen. The first thing that you have to pray for is wisdom, or apostolic wisdom. in order to build honor. Generally, when I'm ministering, I always ask God for apostolic wisdom to go so that when I'm ministering to the people, I have that apostle or that apostolic anointing on me so that I can minister properly. And not only just ministering, even in life, you know, and I've probably shared this before, but I remember this one situation, I'm seeing it here in my notes, where I witnessed something at the end of a church service that looked a little kind of shady, because apostle does not want people to solicit their business or whatever their agenda is in on church property. And I saw someone apparently either, I didn't hear words, I seen it from a distance, but it just appeared that this person was doing some kind of solicitation or saying things that don't need to be said inside the sanctuary. And when that person saw me looking at them as they were approaching a couple, person turned and went in another direction. I stopped for a second, I pondered it, I'm saying, something don't look right. But I didn't see nothing apparently wrong, so I walked out the side door in the church. And later on that evening, I was telling my wife about the situation. And I'm not going into all the detail, but and my wife told me, she said, well, just pray and ask God to give you wisdom about what you saw. And so while we were getting ready to go eat that evening after church, we had went home, changed, and we were going to go sit down and just have a leisurely late lunch. We prayed and I asked God, Lord, give me wisdom about what I saw. And he did. And when I say he did, within a matter of less than 10 minutes, might have been five, my phone rang. It was the couple who was about to be approached that day, that evening. And the husband spoke and he says, I need for you to talk to my wife because this particular person who was a lady had approached us and my wife is really, you know, upset about it. And he told me what had happened. And I said, I said, okay, so that's my answer. You know, she was doing some solicitation. Plus, she also looked at him and told him something, you know, ooh, you really look good with that hat on. You remind me of my ex. But anyway, as a leader, I reported it to my higher ups, you know, up the chain of command. That couple received a call later on that day from Apostle, and then the next day we received a call saying that this particular person was asked to leave the church because of the actions that they did, because they were not following the protocol established in the church. But all of this happened because I saw something. It didn't register in my spirit. I didn't know what it was, but having a wife that I have, and I thank God for my wife, told me, let's pray about this, you know, and ask God to give you wisdom. Got the wisdom, got the answer. But anyway, that's one way to build honor, is to pray and always ask God for wisdom. And I'm taking a lot of my time up, but Proverbs 2, 1 through 19. I'm not going to read everything, but I just want to read a few excerpts from Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 19. He says, my son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after her and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her, talking about wisdom, as silver, and search for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Amen. And then it goes on to say, verse 8, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. That's talking about wisdom. Well, keepeth the path of judgment and it will preserve the way of the saints. Verse 12 says, to deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that speaketh far things. And then it even goes down even further. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger, which flatters with her words. Situation that I just talked about, you know. But it goes on and on to say, This is Proverbs 8 now, 8 and 1. It says, does not wisdom cry and understand and put forth her voice? She speaketh at the top of high places by the way in the places of the path. She cried at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. Then he says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. Understand wisdom. Ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I speak of excellent things, and open my lips shall be right things. I don't want to read everything. But in verse 17, Proverbs 8 and 17, it says, I love them that love me. It's talking about wisdom. When you love wisdom, wisdom will love you. And those that seek me early shall find me. When you seek wisdom early, you're going to find it. Riches and honor are with me. So one way they receive honor is to seek wisdom. It says, verse 18, that's Proverbs 3 and 18, riches and honor are with thee, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Not only is honor with it, but riches. Amen. All right, so the first way is to walk in wisdom. Always ask God for wisdom. I took too much time on number one, but we're moving forward. The next way to build honor is walking in humility, walking in godly humility. The second way to build honor is to walk in humility. Proverbs 15 and 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So before you can walk in true honor, you have to first walk in godly humility. Okay? This is something you need to know. Take note of it. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and anointing totally to God. One more time. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. Your soul, your gifting, your talent totally submitted to God. Humility helps you to submit to what God has called you to do and who he has called you to serve under. You have to walk in humility and hear God's voice. It's very important. That's the sum total of humility, your spirit, your soul and body, your gifting as it is submitted to God. Humility is when God owns you. Humility is when God owns you. In other words, you're giving him the right to speak into your life. And I could share some things, and I've shared some things where I had to humble myself before God, and God opened up doors for me. Not only doors, but he just created things that I needed and manifested things that I needed because I walked in godly humility. Amen. And that word humility, when you submit or walk in humility, you walk in submission or alignment, or you align yourself under, which means under the mission or the vision of another. When you walk in godly humility. A person's power must be seen in their humility. When you are weak in your own strength, then you become strong in Christ. You take up on his strength. There's an exchange that takes place. He takes your weaknesses and is being exchanged for his strength. That's why I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face because I'm resting and relying on your strength. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at what God authorized Moses to put in scripture after Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses concerning the Ethiopian woman. The Lord told Moses when he was writing, Moses wrote in scripture, he said, now the man Moses was very weak above all the men who were on the face of the earth. Moses was considered, even though they came against Moses, Moses could have ran back at him and said, I'm Moses. I'm God's man. you don't talk about me like that. No, Moses just humbled himself. He didn't say anything, but God backed him up because God says, you know, Moses, I talked to him mouth to mouth, you know, and Miriam and Aaron was corrected because they walked in dishonor in that particular situation. Let me move on. Well, so I think you got humility down. The more mature you are, you become, the more humble you will have to walk before God. The more mature, because your maturity will bring on a godly humility. I'm going to use this one quick illustration and we'll move on to number three. There was a situation years ago, seven, eight, I don't remember, where during a LTMA conference, a prominent minister came up to me and looked at me and says, "Hey, sir, how you doing?" I mean, he had probably recognized me from, you know, on TV or whatever. But he says, "What do you do here at the ministry?" So I promptly responded. I said, "I work in the Ministry of Helps." He looked at me like this. Okay. And then he just walked off, didn't say another word. Like, okay, well, you're insignificant. You work in the Ministry of Helps, you know. And I just humbly just, well, praise God. He wanted to know what I do. I work in the Ministry of Helps. I mean, whatever my hands finds to do, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I'm told to do, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's what the Ministry of Helps is there for, is to help undergird the man of God. Okay, whether that's teaching in the school of ministry, teaching the new members class, you know, pinch hitting on Wednesdays or Sundays when apostle is not here on Sunday service, whatever. You know, I'm not putting a ticket on it. I'm just saying whatever I'm asked to do, I'm available. And then a couple of months later, the school of ministry started. And then, you know, I'm teaching the class like I am now. The next meeting we had, he comes up to me again. "I didn't know you was an instructor. I work in the Ministry of Helps." You know, humble. Just, you know, I'm not trying to put a name tag on who I am. You know, I am who I am because of the grace of God. And that grace I don't take lightly. But, you know, that's humility. Let's move on. Number three, walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct will develop honor. The third way to build honor is by walking in the spirit of integrity and being upright in conduct. Integrity is a quality of being honest, having a good moral principle and behavior and value, virtues, righteousness, and honesty. Proverbs 26:1 says, the spirit of integrity. Now, this is talking about integrity. As the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, foolishness and honor don't go together. They don't run together. The word foolish here has to do with one's inability to walk in the spirit of honor. You know, it doesn't snow in the summer, as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. So, like I said, foolishness and honor do not walk together. In other words, wise individuals know how to conduct themselves. So the third way to build honor is by building upright conduct. Everywhere you go, your conduct must be upright. You must be a man or a woman of integrity. Moral integrity, not trapped in any sex or immoral conduct, homosexuality, lesbianism, inordinate affections. Those things should not be named among us as Christians. He says, the Bible says if we walk in the spirit, we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I'm not going to get into that because we've talked about that before. But all of that falls under the context of integrity and being upright in heart. Amen. All right. I could go into a lot of the works of the flesh, but we're not going to do that. Number four, serving is the fourth way to produce honor, to build honor in your life. Serving. And this one I'm going to stay on a while because I always use the illustration, whatever your hand finds to do in the ministry, get busy with it. Because when you serve the man of God, you're serving God. And when you serve God, God will reward you. And his rewards are far greater than anything that you can do for him. Amen. All right. Proverbs 27, verses 17 through 18. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. One more time. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. And really, verse 18 is what I'm keying in on. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. When you wait, okay, I use the illustration of a waiter. A waiter will come, he's got his, you know, and he will, sir, do you need more water? Do you need more tea? You know, what is everything fine? Can I be of any more assistance to you after you made your order? A good waiter will come by, you know, not every minute or two, but enough to make sure that you are well accommodated at the restaurant. And when you have a good waiter, you don't have a problem tipping him because he has been a service to you. Well, when you serve God, God does, and it's not a tip, believe me, God doesn't have any reservation blessing you because you're serving his servant who's preaching the word, teaching the word, and you making it accommodating for him to do his job. Even if you park cars in the parking lot, you're getting the people in there. If you open in the door, you're getting the people in the building. If you usher them to their seat, you are making it, you know. I've heard people say, you know, I feel so blessed coming here because from the moment I drive into on the property, there's somebody finding me the best parking spot. They open the door for me. They greet me when I walk in. You know, when I get in the sanctuary, there's an usher says, how many seats do you need? Two or three? And I tell them, and they escort me to the available seats that's left, you know, and I feel very welcome. And each one of those individuals are serving the apostle, you know. Even in the children's church, when they bring children, you can bring them to the back. And so the ladies there are attending to keeping your kids while you're hearing the word. And the kids are getting the word in a method, that, a manner that they can understand it. So all of this is serving, you know. It just goes on and on and on. But when you keep the fig tree, in other words, you tend to the fig tree, you know, you're going to be able to eat the fruit of the fig tree. So when you serve your man of God, the fruit that's coming off of him, you're going to be able to partake of it. You know, I can't say and put it in any greater degree that, you know, God has blessed my wife and I financially. He's blessed us physically. He's blessed us in every area of our lives because we tend to the fig tree. And we try to tend to the fig tree as best we can. In other words, tend to the man of God. Whatever we can do, you know, we whatever we're assigned to do, we stick to it because I know there's a blessing in serving. Amen. Hallelujah. Elijah, with the A, if you can serve Elijah, you can reap the seeds of honor, which he did. Joshua, if you can serve Moses, you will reap the benefits of honor. David, if you can serve Saul, you reap the benefits of that honor can produce. You know, the scripture says iron sharpens iron. In other words, metals that are compatible to each other complement each other when they work together and they function together. Mixing together metals makes a stronger compound. And I know that from working in the chemical industry. There's certain metals that you can mix to magnesium and maybe titanium or a different. And when you mix them together, they're stronger. So iron will sharpen iron. And also too, you know, when you tend to the fig tree, you're going to eat the fruits that the fig tree produces. Amen. So it's so very important to understand the importance of serving. He then also says that an individual that keeps the fig tree, in other words, if you understand what produces fruit in your life and you protect the fruit bearing agencies of your life by honoring the fruit bearing agencies, you will reap the benefits of what you have nurtured. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Most of all, if you will serve someone that God has called you to, if you will serve an apostolic father, our prophetic gift, or your pastor who's under apostolic government, if you will serve in the area of ministry, the Bible says you shall be honored. Okay, here's another key point that you need to remember. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruits thereof. So he that waited or serves on his master shall be honored. Serving will produce honor. Amen. I'm just checking to see if I'm covering everything. Too many young ministers have gone astray or gone AWOL ahead of time on their spiritual fathers, or what you might call absent without leave. You know, God calls you to a ministry. God places you in that ministry. And after a year or so, you feel like it's time for me to go and start my own ministry, or it's time for me to move on. And you justify that because you've grown a little bit, but you may not be ready for your own ministry. You know, I think Elijah served Elijah for like 18 years, and he didn't get launched out into his own ministry until he saw Elijah get caught up in a whirlwind. He said, if you see me when I go up, you get a double portion. But if you don't see me, and the key there is sticking close to your man of God, watching what he does and observing how God uses him. Because the apple will not fall far from the tree. You will have the same DNA if you stay connected properly. Amen. Amen for that. Hallelujah. Let's see what else I need to say in that area. All right, let's move on to number 5. Obedience and submission is the fifth way to build honor. Obedience. You know, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, obedience and submission. And I like the fact that the author uses both the word obedience and submission. We'll see what I mean in a little bit. In 1 Peter 3, 6 and 7, it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So he is saying here that Sarah obeyed Abraham. She honored Abraham. Likewise, husbands, also honor your wives. In 1 Samuel 1 and 15, Saul offered the sacrifice, and Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You have sacrifice and you have obedience, and then you have submission. Okay, now listen up with how I'm going to explain this. Watch me carefully. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. Okay, I'll give you an example. I can say to someone, go get me some water. He may obey me by getting the water, but he may not necessarily be submitted to me completely. You can be, you know, obedient and standing, but in your heart you're really sitting down. In other words, I'm doing this because everybody else is doing it and I'm expected to do this, but on the inside I'm not completely and totally submitted. And that's why I'm saying that submission is even more important than obedience and sacrifice. Because sacrifice, you're doing something, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Because when you sacrifice, you know, you're doing something, sometimes because you may not really want to do it. But submission is better than obedience. All right? Okay, let me share this with you. Submission, this is something you're going to need to know. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. Amen? Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. So if you want the supernatural to start manifesting itself in your life, submit properly, submit totally. And when you submit, as I said, you fall under the mission or the vision of somebody else. You submit. You know, a submarine goes under the water. That's why they call it a submarine. Marine means, you know, water, amphibious, and sub means under. So when you submit yourself to your pastor, your apostle, or your prophet, or whoever you are under, you fall under their mission, under their vision, and you submit properly by serving, by obeying, by walking in integrity, you know, by asking God for wisdom in those areas so that you can serve properly. All of these things help produce honor in your life. All of these things help produce honor in your life. So the way to build honor is by submission and obedience. You know, not only are you obeying, because you can obey and still don't be submitted, but when you are submitting and obeying, Mary said to the servant in John chapter 2, whatsoever he says to you, do it. Because submission becomes the breeding ground for the miraculous. You know, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. Signs and wonders, demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Spirit will begin to function in your life because you are properly submitted and you walk in total obedience. And that's very important. All of these five principles that I just spoke about are very important because they help give you a solid foundation, in walking in honor. Humility. You got to walk in godly humility, which is the sum total of a person's spirit to submit itself totally to the power of God, submitting your gift and your talent and your anointing totally to God. Amen. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and obedience is better than submission. Amen. You are, and you also are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men and God's place in the body of Christ. This gives honor to whom honor is due. So it's so very important to honor the gifts, the talents, the abilities that are in men. When you honor the gift, you're honoring the person. Because you can't separate the gift from the person. Amen. You always understand that. Okay. We also talked about whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited or serves his master, you know, shall be honored. That's talking about serving your man of God will produce honor. You know, simple. You know what? One of the things about honor is the simple things that we do. But the scripture says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, little things that we forget to do. I'm gonna give you a good illustration. Yesterday evening, we had prayer meeting and my wife and I, we got ready and we went. I generally don't keep a lot of cash in my wallet just because. And so when we got to church, Apostle was at prayer meetings, standing on the stage. And immediately I thought about it. I said, all I got is maybe $5 or $6 in my wallet. I said, I don't want to sow less than a 20. But I saw my wife go and get an envelope, and she's writing on the envelope, and then she hands it to me, you know, with the credit card information, $20, $30 seed. And she looked at me, so I knew what I needed to do. So while we were praying, I just walked up there, planted my seed. You know, why did I say that? You know, because it's very important that we understand the principles of sowing into the anointing. You know, sowing will produce honor. And we're going to talk about that next week more in-depthly. But when you keep the fig tree and you wait upon your master, that will produce honor. Amen. So all of these attributes that we just talked about, you know, are so, so very important. Next week, we're going to get into five more principles of how to produce honor. And like I said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, it's the things that you just forget to do. Sometimes it's because you're not properly trained or you haven't seen it in action or in operation. You know, people serving, people giving their time, their talent, and their treasure by serving a man of God. You know, people walking in humility, you know, godly humility will produce honor, you know, because before honor is humility. You know, you have to walk in godly humility. It's no other way around it. Those principles will help produce honor in your life. And with that said, we're concluded for the day. See you next week. Amen.